Fringe Radio. Your trusted source for the paranormal, conspiracy theory, and true crime.
Coming to you live from the Mistopheles Studios, it's Dark Fringe Radio.
All I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
You're the disease, and I'm the cure.
That is power.
And welcome, everybody, to another edition of Dark Fringe Radio. I am your host, Will Martinez, and thanks so much for joining us on another adventure here on the podcast. And this week, we have a very interesting guest, guys. His name is Antonio Moreno, and he is the U.S. chairman to the top secret Majority 12 committee, who oversees the UFO phenomenon here in the United States. And we have a very deep, interesting conversation. We really enjoyed this conversation with Antonio Moreno, but before we get into all that, want to remind everybody how you can listen to the podcast. Very simple. You can go to our website, darkfringeradio.com, and make sure you check out all our episodes. They're all archived there for your listening and viewing pleasure. And of course, we have daily stories that we're uploading on a daily basis. And of course, you can go to our social media at Facebook, Instagram, and of course, X. And at Dark Fringe Radio, and see all our postings on a daily basis. Make sure you subscribe and like and share it, all our stuff. We really appreciate it. And one other spot I want to remind you guys is our, of course, YouTube page at Dark Fringe Radio. Make sure you go there, like, subscribe. Make sure you hit the bell notification so every time a new episode drops, you will be notified. So make sure you do that and check us out at YouTube. So please support us there as much as you possibly can. We really appreciate it. And that's pretty much it. We're going to get into our interview here with Antonio Moreno. What a great interview. This is a guest I've been wanting to have on for some time, and finally reached out to him and he responded, and we were finally able to come together and record this episode. Very proud of it, and very interesting. We're going to have him come back on for another one, but I hope you guys enjoyed this interview here with Antonio Moreno, the U.S. chairman to the top secret Majority 12 committee of the UFO phenomenon here in the United States. Don't go anywhere. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on another adventure of Dark Fringe Radio. Tonight, we have a very special guest. His name is Tony Moreno. And Tony is a very interesting individual. He's been basically curating UFO information for over almost, 53 years now that we talked about. But he's the U.S. chairman to the top secret Majority 12 committee, and they oversee basically the UFO phenomenon. And so we want to welcome tonight to Dark Fringe Radio, Mr. Tony Moreno. Tony, thanks for coming on tonight. Thanks so much.
Oh, great. Thank you, and it's a pleasure being here.
Awesome, awesome. So, Tony, let's really dig in here because we have so much to talk about. You know, we've talked about UFOs here on the podcast many, many times, but, you know, it's hard to find somebody who has a lot of inside knowledge and, kind of like extract some of that inside knowledge from them is really hard to find. So, or at least authentic, I would say, too, as well. So, Tony, what got you into this whole, thing? And I know you said you were recruited at a young age. Talk to us a little bit about that and how all that came to be.
My parents, both of them were Air Force aircraft mechanics. Mm-hmm. And my mother was a crew chief aircraft mechanic on the F-111s, F-15s, fighter jets. And my father was an aircraft mechanic on the bigger planes, the propellers and stuff. And they both were in the Air Force for 30 years. My mother started working at the Pentagon in 1945. And from there, she went on to be crew chief aircraft mechanic on jet fighter planes. And me, I got into back engineering flying saucers.
There you go. Yeah, there's the jump, right? From one flying ship to another.
Here's the thing is, the military, we're such a close-knit family that we know everybody. We go to the grocery store, we go to the PX, you know, we go to the rec center and bowling alley and movies and stuff. So it's a safe zone for children growing up on a military base and when your parents are working there and stuff. So everyone knows you. And the military is pretty, very, very intelligent organization. They are into detail about a lot of things. They want to break it down and you know, and make sure that they have their facts right with a lot of things and everything. And I was one of those children that the military said, "Well, shoot, both of his parents are aircraft mechanics. I wonder if they have any children in that group there that are geniuses like them, are intelligent like them." And so they found me, and they realized that I was their solution to their problem in the future. Mm-hmm. And they set me up, and I realized this as a child, but I got recruited from the swimming pool. Mm. Where we would go swimming, and kids would hang out and go swimming, and the military come over and have lunch there because they had a cafeteria there, and they could eat outside underneath the awning and on the picnic tables. And there was a favorite spot that I hung out on the picnic tables by the door, and I had come out of the pool, and my eyes were burning, and I went to sit down where I normally sit, and there were two officers there. One was a general, and one was a colonel, and my eyes were burning, you know, from the chlorine and stuff, you know. And the general says, "So here, son, here's some water. Rinse your eyes out." So I did. And I happened to look over there, and they had a top secret file. And me, as an inquisitive kid, says, "Hey, fellas, what do you got over there? It's so top secret." they weren't even and talking, but they turned and they looked at me. The general looked at me and he said, "Son," he said, "who do you belong to?" I said, "Well, my parents are see that hangar over there? My mother's inside working on the F-111s, and my father's on the flight line right in front there. They're both aircraft mechanics." Mm-hmm. And their name is Frank and Gene. Mm-hmm. And I'm Tony Marino. And then they stopped talking and stuff, you know, and they went to, they're looking at the file, and I guess they were waiting for me to say some more. So I did. I said, "Come on, fellas, what do you got there?" I knew their rank. I just said, "Hey, fellas, I got to know what's so top secret." Because, you know, when you're 12 years old, a kid,
you just got to know.
Don't pay, yeah, they don't pay that too much attention to, "All right, kid, well, who do you belong to?" You know, all right, and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But kind of like, the general, opened a file, and he slid it down to me, and on the left side was UFOs, and on the right side was Bigfoot. Huh. And I said, "I got to be in this." You know, that was this was the biggest interest to me that I had to be involved in. But on top of that, my father was a flight engineer and aircraft mechanic. They used to fly up to Washington State in 1973, and my father used to they used to take aerial photographs of small colonies of Bigfoot. And so I was already aware of this through my father bringing these photos home and UFOs, and that was it. You know, I just told him, I says, "How do I get involved with this?" And they told me, "No, wherever you go, wherever your parents get stationed, then we will provide this at the libraries for you, and you'll know where to look."
Wow. Okay.
And see, so that was my educational setting. Mm-hmm. You know, with all the UFOs, the information was phenomenal. But as the years went by, I when the internet went live in 1996, mm-hmm. I opened up a website called I was invited to it from a chat room that I was in 1995 in Seattle talking about UFOs. A lady by the name of Barbara Dietrich had started this website called UFOalert.com. And I was looking for a platform. and it was a website. And I jumped onto that. I took over that, and I had stories from all over the world, pictures coming in, videos all over the world. I was getting bombarded. I invited the Sci-Fi Channel, the History Channel, the Discovery Channel, authors, famous writers, directors from movies, you know, Chris Carter and all those people. You know, I invited them to this website because I was going to use that to filter out information over a long period of time. And it turned out quite well, and it did. And that kept me busy, with the people that were sending all this information, I had to explain to them that I wish I could acknowledge and have time to talk to you about your encounters and stuff like this. I do believe you, and I thank you very much for sending all this stuff in, but I need to filter this information out because I got five categories that I got to work on. I got to work on this from a military point of view, a public point of view, a scientific point of view, a religious point of view, and what else would I say it was?
Spiritual?
Scientific. Government. Government. Okay, so government. We have five categories that I got to filter this out so people can understand it. So I created this website in 1996, and I put it together, and it wasn't mine, but it was owned by this car dealer people that had bought in this website, and I was getting thousands and thousands of people from all over the world on UFOs and stuff, and I was still filtering the information out and everything like that.
Were you able to archive all that information?
Well, see, I was, and here's what happened: is Barbara Dietrich, she was advertising on there, making money off of me. It was a perfect a marketing place for her to make money off of me because I was getting in thousands of people from all over the world. This is 1996 when it first went live.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
When it first went live. This was the first UFO website that went global.
That's crazy. Wow.
And so I filtered all this information out, and I just kicked back. And I watch it unfold. next thing I know, I had a lot of experts out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of experts.
Next thing I know, they're all talking about things that I said.
See, that's something I wanted to ask you. Yeah, because there's been a lot of people that have come out, of course. You know, you have,
Here's the thing is that they have to get their information somewhere.
Right.
So they go searching for a source. You know, and then they gather this information, but they're not going to go tell John Doe or their buddies over there. This is where they're getting their facts from,
right?
You know, because they research each other. You know, so I tell them that your job is to make believers out of the people. My job is to show you flying saucers, alien bodies, and tell you the story about them. You see?
Yeah.
And so you guys are doing a good job. I thank you very much and all this blah, blah. And I watch him, you know, because I created Stephen Greer, Dr. Stephen Greer.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about him. Yeah.
He went to the military and because he was told that he needed to see me. And he was told who I was. And he came to me 3 months prior to his press club release in 2002 or 2001 up in Washington, D.C. there.
Yeah, and we actually interviewed one of the guys from that press release, actually. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, well, he came to me, and I pretty much gave him the green light. And the reason why I gave him the green light was because he has the title of a doctor's right. degree, right? And first thing to come to my mind was people are more prone to believe a doctor than they are a John Doe that doesn't know anything about UFOs.
That is true.
That is true, funny enough, even though it's, you know, it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, yeah, you have to think like a human.
Doctors can be full of shit, too.
Yeah. And, but yeah, other than that, it's been 54 years, man. And sometimes I got to take a break from this, you know.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that's one thing I'm sure you definitely have to do is kind of like get away and unplug for a while. Jay, did you have any questions?
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious because I have been we call me the open-minded skeptic. You know, I'm fresh to conspiracy theories and some of these things, but I've always had a strong feeling that there were aliens out there, and there was a good possibility that there were aliens here too. Now, recently, there's been a lot of upswell of sightings and video everywhere, and I was curious kind of what you make of this sudden explosion with exposure of all this, where it seems like what once was a taboo and a crazy subject, now kind of everybody's even open to it. So I was kind of wanting to know your take on some of the most recent pieces of exposure that have come out.
Everything that you see out there now. You see, because I orchestrated this exposure and to keep it going with the information, because I had people like J. Allen Hynek. I had Stanton T. Freeman. Mm-hmm. You know, these were guys that came to me for information. And they asked me, you know, like Alan J. Hynek, I don't know if you remember him, but he asked me, he says, why did the military do that to me? I said, well, Alan, they wanted to know what your opinion would be as a civilian being involved with UFOs and what you thought. They were just looking for your opinion. And you played the part and you had the chance to be involved with top secret UFO stuff. And so, and just like Stephen Greer, I opened up the door for him, but I let him go because, I want to see what he could put together and stuff like that. And and last thing I heard, he was going out in the desert with lasers and meditating. They were meditating up in the sky. We're friendly humans and come invade us, and you could do whatever you want with us because, we'll just add you to the list like Carl Sagan did mm-hmm. when he sent the Voyager up, say, hey, mm-hmm. we're humans. We're soft and squishy. Yeah, we're naked. And we got
to squishy. We're tasty. Yeah.
And yes, and we got
we're
all.
We're fairly weak.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Just come here and help yourself.
Yeah. We're fairly weak. Please. Yeah. Help yourself.
It's what's for dinner.
Now here's the catch. The UFOs have been on this planet longer than we have. You see, I know that. I have all the physical evidence in the military. I don't have any problem with showing the public these things, but there's a lot to understand, and even I've been at this barrier with religion that just really drives me,
That's one question I wanted to ask you. Well, how do you think religion is going to be affected when the UFO, you want to call phenomena, becomes a more of a, just a fact in life?
Well, see, I've been telling
religion. What's his first contact?
Well, see, I've been telling religion, you need to get your act together and confess that your little monkey ass, excuse my language, had been mingling with them, for a long, long time. And if you're not too sure about this happening, well, let me break it down to you. And I said, well, those stories that you wrote in the Bible? Here, well, listen, well, we could pick out these stories here, and we could say that we'll take Ezekiel. Ezekiel, in the beginning, was down by the river there, and out of the north came a whirlwind UFO and took him for supposedly 7 days, dropped him off by the river, told him to go to Israel. The Israelites were the rebellious people type of encounters. Then I realized that after reading the Bible, these aren't stories of what God said, but they are. But here, I'll get into that. These stories are people that were abducted and had encounters with UFOs. And they had nightmares and dreams about this over a long period of time. And after putting the pieces of the puzzle to their abductions together, they'd go in the village and they'd tell the people. And the people would call them prophets of God. Today, when we have people get abducted, we could put them under hypnosis and we can account for the missing time. And we call them abductees. So abductees and prophets of God are the same thing. So religion created these names, God, the Holy Spirit, communicated telepathically and gave them all these different names. Mm-hmm. We today, we give them names. We call them aliens. We call them UFOs. Back in those days, they called them gods, mm-hmm. you know, and because there was a lot of activity on this planet and humans. I'll get into humans' creations, but we still got a long ways to go here.
That's the Nephilim, so, right, you're talking about there.
All right, so hit me up with another question then.
So the Nephilim, let's talk about the human creation story. Is that okay? Are we a science experiment of the aliens, or are we? You know.
Here's what I found out. It says they've been on this planet longer than we have.
Right.
And then I found out that I had to go back into time because there was a part of history that they left out was Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal. They existed, sure, but that's how far they went. And then all of a sudden, humans popped up out of nowhere.
No missing link.
Right, yeah. They did. Mm-hmm. It's like, whoa, you know, this is how he was created, man. He was created out of dirt. Oh, man, that blew air into his lungs. And next thing you know, man, he was breathing. And he took a rib out of him. And he created a woman. Next thing you know, voila, they had Cain and Abel. And Cain slayed and killed Abel. And Cain knew his wife. And they had a son named Enon. And I said, well, where did Cain get his wife? Oh, Eve had more children. You're kidding me. Mm-hmm. You can't be serious about that. That's incest. Are you kidding me? The Pharaohs tried that, and they were dying left and right. You know, mm-hmm. incest, you know, because it didn't work out too well. But
No, it never does. Yeah. It never does. The royals didn't get that either. Oh, lots of overbites.
Yeah. But, okay, so... When I got down to humans' genetic makeup, and I from a scientific point of view, I realized that there were some genes in there that scientists couldn't understand and figure out, you know. And I realized that those were alien genes, and I also realized that aliens were breeding with humans. You see, it was an ongoing thing, and because they needed them to. Do work for them. Humans were slaves. And see, this planet, it used to be a very, very active planet with aliens from all over the place because they used this planet for buy-selling and trading. And it's like a swap meet. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of activity going on. But humans were created genetically by splicing through 62 chromosomes. And that came out of, they must have used Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal because that was the closest they could use to create what they wanted to create because they had to create genetically a certain way of a human where they could tap into their mind and communicate with them telepathically because that's how they communicated. Mm-hmm. You see, we're the ones who created the verbal language of communication. But extraterrestrials, they're accustomed to telepathy, communicating telepathically. And that's why we were created, because they could program us to do and learn this and that, what they needed done. And it came to a point where after humans were genetically engineered and all that stuff, and they were created and stuff, well, humans, they started multiplying. They were so fast that they were thinking on their own, and they were tired of the aliens controlling them. You know, we had you had giant aliens walking the earth, and they were controlling humans in Egypt and stuff. And there was a lot of activity going on, and the humans took a stand, and they went to war with them, and they defeated them off the planet. That's why they left. And they took their tools with them, and they took some humans with them, too. Civilizations just disappeared just like that. And, you know, my question was with the archaeologists was, did you find any tools that they used to make these things? Mm-hmm. No. Okay, well, what does that tell you? Right. You know, get him to open up his mind and say, well, this looks like outside intervention.
Right.
Activity going on. And yeah. One, of course, would have to be naive to believe that we're the only ones in the universe. But one time my friend asked me, he says, what do you think about the universe? I said, well, it's infinite that to begin with. And it's a swap meet out there.
let me ask you a question. You said something I actually found very interesting. On that, Earth is a swap meet. What makes Earth so attractive to be used as a swap meet? What makes this such a prime location? You know, with the same real estate location. Makes Earth so special?
Because you could plant seeds, and it has an oxygen where it will grow. Mm-hmm. You know, you could plant a human being. Yeah. And it'll grow. You know, you can create seeds, and they seeded this planet with plants and stuff and animals and stuff to see if they could survive. And a lot of them did. A lot of them couldn't, you know. So, but there was, like I said, there was a lot of activity going on. And, you know, eventually the multitude of life form that was going on, some of it became extinct because not enough food or something like that, or you know, different types of things that would cause the
something to go extinct.
Something, yeah, it would eventually go. But I figured that I was looking at all the cultures of the people on this planet, and they try to say that it was the food that they ate and them being exposed to the sun that made their skin pigment and appearance different. And I guess it's no.
It could be further for the truth.
No, that's all alien influence. You see, those are different species that are breeding with humans.
Right.
You see, it's not the food that they ate. Right. It's not the exposure to the sun that give them the color and all that stuff. I mean, sure. I mean, if you're out in the desert below the equator line and you're running around half naked, of course, the pigment of your skin is going to tan and darken.
I get brown.
I think they concluded to that fact that it would take over like 250 million years for that to actually even smudgingly take place. You know what I mean? So that, you know, of having different, you know, colors of people just because of where they're located, you know, geographically. But that's, you know, that's something that we're starting to learn. And some people are starting to see and wake up from this facade that's been put upon us. What do you think about the theory? And I know Jay and I, we subscribe to this. And tell me if I'm wrong, Jay, but, you know, UFOs also not coming just from the air, but coming from underwater.
Yes. Oh, God, man, I have so much activity. I'm under the waters, under the ground. It's unbelievable. I mean, you know, it's like, well, you know, I gave the military a promise that I would make them come out smelling like a rose, because in actuality, they have done a wonderful job of understanding this and studying this and back engineering this and things that are very, very important. You know, besides keeping secrets to from other countries and stuff about it and everything like that, when I know darn well and you know darn well that UFOs crash all over this world. Oh, yeah. So everyone has a piece of the pie. They back engineer, you understand it. So, so mankind, they try to make you think that you're stupid, but they're not. You know, they know what they're doing and stuff. But there's, like I said, all the cultures and stuff were the aliens would breed with them because they needed them. They harvest them. Humans aren't in control of anything. They don't own this planet. Right now, the multitude of aliens that are orbiting this planet and the activities going on is because of the condition of the planet and its atmosphere and its oceans. And nobody wants to take a look at that, but yeah, our oceans are poisoned, are contaminated, destroyed. They dump all the plastic in the ocean. The sea animals eat it. It gets in there, and then they beached themselves on the ocean and trying to wonder why the whales, by the hundreds of them, are beached. Right. It's because of the plastic, you know, and the sonar that the Navy does out there, you know, for this and that. Affects your eardrums and pops them, probably sends them, you know, whacking way out of it, this and that. You know, mankind, man, is, I honestly, he's a destructive species. Yeah, actually,
for sure.
You know, the aliens, they don't like humans.
Yeah, I was in coach. Do they like us?
Hey, they know, man. They think humans pose a threat to the solar system, the universe, because his creation of atomic energy of mass destruction, you know, and that's what really they're really really concerned about is that, because mankind when they pop two of them off in Hiroshima and Nagasaki,
you that start was seeing a lot up. Of yeah, and then you start seeing a lot of that happening.
But you see, even that story, I was privileged to find out how that started. You know,
how did that start? I get
sidetracked. Yeah, I'll tell you what happened. You see, in 1945, in the 40s, they created submarines, right. The USG, and they were over there and spying on the Japanese waters, because the Japanese were breaking ground for the nuclear plant that just blew up not too long ago. But they were breaking ground for that, and the German and the Japanese told the Americans, get out of their water on a few occasions, and if you didn't get out, we're going down to Pearl Harbor. We're going to take out your Pacific Fleet. America said, go ahead, and they removed five of their aircraft carriers in Hawaii, took them out of there because the Japanese were headed there to blow up. The Pacific Fleet, like they said, because America, they were like the English. They fucking think that they own the world. They want this, they want that. It belongs to them. They got to see, they got to spy, they got to know. It's just something about humans that really just drives me
frustrating. Yes. Yes, we are terribly frustrating. Yes, we are.
When all you can do is just laugh, that's all.
Hey, I have a sense of humor. I have to in this business.
You gotta,
you gotta.
I do, because I mean, I live two lives. I live a UFO life, and I live a civilian life. You know, right. Where I go fishing, I go hiking, and you know, I take my dogs out, and you know, all that stuff. But I don't think about UFOs or anything of this nature. But when it comes to it, all I got to do is ask me questions, because right now, the people want to know why the government's keeping it a secret. I says, well, has it ever appeared to you that they don't know what to tell you?
That is one good.
I've said for a long time, I thought the reason why they didn't tell us is because they weren't sure how we were going to handle what they couldn't answer.
Well, yeah, here's the thing is that I'm battling with religion right now, and I'm telling them, you need to get your fucking act together, and you're the one who needs to repent. You're the one who needs to ask for forgiveness.
I get what you're saying.
Here's the thing is that, you know, I'm not saying religion is a liar. I'm saying the stories, they have the stories confused. Of
misunderstood.
What happened.
Yeah,
misunderstood. And that's where I'm having problems with them and making them understand that you associated with them too. You know, everybody associated with aliens too, since the beginning of your creation. So it's nothing new, you know, going on here. And your problem is that you seem to feel that this direction of worshiping that you created is superior than everyone else's, and they're killing each other by the millions over it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's been the biggest killer since time, right? The differences of religion, right?
Well, yeah, the Arabs and the Jews.
Yeah,
and,
that's an example.
That's Abraham's two sons, Ishmael and Isaac.
Yep.
And they have the same father but different mother. And one established the Arab world and one established the Jewish world. But, I get on them, too, because, you know, Solomon seems to think that you know, he's king of the fucking oil field over there, right? I said, well, first of all, you know, that's my machinery. That's my machinery. I can shut it off anytime I want. So you don't own it because you live up on top of it. That shit comes from inside the earth, and nobody owns inside the earth. Mm. You see, just because it funnels up that way, you know, doesn't mean, you know, I don't want to get sidetracked and get into politics about the planet, but it's all fucked up. That's seriously, man. It's really bad. I mean, shoot, smoke a fucking joint. If you smoke a joint, you might feel a lot better.
How about marijuana though itself? Isn't that an alien plant? Isn't that given to us by the aliens?
Yes, exactly. Right? Everything that grows on this planet was seeded by the aliens. Humans didn't seed it. They evolved around a planet that was already green and fruitful and had everything for them. All you do is go pick it.
But we screwed it up, of course.
And know the seasons and stuff.
Of course you did.
And everything. But so the thing is we defeated the aliens, and the aliens are back because of the condition of the atmosphere and the oceans and our ground. You know,
I heard the poison. I heard also that there was a theory about gold. Is that true too? Is that they want us to mine gold for this?
They've been mining all the minerals here, and they need humans. They need the humans to do that.
Gotcha.
Humans been doing that since the beginning they came here. The gold, the silver, the mercury, you know, the copper, the zinc. You know, these are minerals that they need to build themselves, civilizations and stuff like this. And they use humans to mine it. Mm-hmm. You see, there's a secret world going on right in front of you. And right now I'm exposing it to you guys. And I don't care about what you think about it, because you can't hide reality, you know, and chances are, you know, we have 700 years of alien technology in the palm of my hands. And I've got enough work to keep mankind busy for the next 700 years in the future. Mm-hmm. You see, I want to change education program, and I want to insert alien technology, because I know the kids, they want to get involved with Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Well, who doesn't want a lightsaber?
Who doesn't want a lightsaber?
Well, yeah, we'll see. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give an education of alien technology, and then I'm going to say, hey, kids, you guys ready for the real thing?
Oh, yeah. Then they're going to be going like this and then moving rocks and stuff. Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
Right, yeah, to work on it, you see, because we need to evolve. We're right now, if you really look at it, nobody knows who created mankind.
It's true.
No.
Nobody knows.
They can theorize all day.
Don't tell me the Bible tells me how we were created, because it doesn't. You know, and it's too far-fetched to think that we were created out of dirt and creation blew air into our lungs, you know, the bat process and stuff like that. Yeah. But I told him, actually, I thought that creation was nothing more than a biological germ process that took millions of years to evolve over a long period of time, but it was nurtured and monitored along the way. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's how life all is evolves, because everyone is nurturing and monitoring its progress and changes. You know, it's an ongoing thing out there in the universe with planets and stuff too. You know, and we're not the only ones in the solar system, and right now. We're trying to poke a hole in a ferment. You know, you poke a hole in the ferment, then you're fucked up. You wiped out this planet here, and you know,
do you actually believe we went to the moon, Antonio?
Oh no, we didn't go.
Okay, all right. Cool. Yeah, he's on my team. Thank God, Tony, you're on my team.
We didn't go, man.
Yeah,
I try to rub it in Jay's face as much as I possibly can when I can. And so when I get somebody co-signs with me,
can't rub in my face what happened. It's okay. That's all right.
I tell you, it's impossible to go, because when I asked the Russians why they didn't go, They said they couldn't get through the ferment. The ferment was the radioactive radiation
field. Right?
Yeah, the Van Allen radiation field that they couldn't break through because it would penetrate through the machinery and kill humans. That's why they didn't go in the 50s.
But if we didn't go, mankind, if we didn't mankind,
he's the only, can you imagine mankind sitting here, he's showing pictures of Apollo flying to the moon, landing on the moon, and everything like that. And you got to ask yourself, who's filming this?
Right. Yeah. Jay, what were you going to say? I know you had to say something, Jay.
I mean,
Armstrong is stepping out of the capsule there. Who's filming this, man? I mean, really. First of all, the moon's surface is so powdery, dusty, that it would have filled up the whole bottom of the ship and that landing gears and stuff. Their boots and uniform would have been gray and all kinds of things, man. I mean, really. I mean, this is
Jay, you had something you wanted to say. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, I'm good.
You're sure?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good.
I have my opinions on it.
Yeah.
And I have found that it is best if I keep those opinions sometimes to myself.
Well, we love you, Jay. Hey,
one thing about me, fellas, is that I tell the truth about everything you ask me, and I know. And the reason why I know is because I was I used to ask these questions too as a younger growing up. You know, I was one of those kids that I watched TV and they'd say it was like this over in Fort Lauderdale, Spring Break and everything. Mm-hmm. I said, shit, I got to go see this. You know,
Spring Break and Fort Lauderdale is fucking best.
I mean, that is the truth. All these babes over there.
Fort Lauderdale, Spring Break is the shit.
Oh, it was the fucking shit, man.
I tell you, it was
totally freaking awesome because as a teenager growing up there, I'd go there every spring break to work. And see, I worked.
Did you live in South Florida, Tony?
Well, I worked at Lauderdale Beach Hotel where they filmed Spring Break.
Ah, okay. Nice.
Okay. Perfect. And then I worked at Holiday Inn on a Surfrider on the ocean there as a valet parker and bellhop.
Ah.
Boat jobs. So I was making money parking people on the beach, and I was taking the luggage up to the girls and telling them where it's all going on here. And by the time I got done with them, the girls would tell me, well, we're having a party tomorrow night. Are you coming?
Mm-hmm. And yes, I am.
I didn't have to say anything, man. You know, everything spoke for itself, man. I tell you, it was awesome time, man. But those were the days of spring break down in Lauderdale.
Tony, what do you think now about people now? I think are more interested about this type of phenomenon more than ever. I even would dare to say more so even during the 80s or even 70s. I think people are.
I think it's more popular or more widely believed now than ever.
Yeah. Well, what's your take on that? I mean, are people, you know, awoken now, as they say, or what do you think?
Well, when I got done talking to the military about this, I said, "Listen, we could bring out evidence in small doses, and." Yeah. I said everything would be fine, you know, and so they brought out what's that guy's name? Elizondo.
Lou Elizondo. Yeah,
okay. They brought that guy out with the video of a pilot chasing a UFO, right?
Correct.
So that was kind of like the beginning of acknowledging, you know, that we know that they exist, okay, mm-hmm. and we're chasing them. So that's the beginning.
Yeah.
That's the beginning. We're letting you know that they exist. Okay. Yeah. We got to see how you absorb this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I have to deal with religion. I have to, you know, I'm not trying to dissect religion or say it's wrong or anything in this nature. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to change your story, what you were talking about. And this is a real story, and this is one that you thought that you believe it, because you're not going anywhere with these stories. Right. All you're doing is reading these stories and about what people said, and you're believing in it, and you live your life by it. And in reality, the only thing that helps you out is you yourself. You see, nobody else is going to help you out. Your mind, you program your mind into the positive realm. You stay in the positive.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing's a problem. It's just a situation that needs to be dealt with intelligently. So, like I said, when you have that way of feeling and thinking, you know, you kind of skate through life, you know, with all the answers that you want to find out about the real things that are fake and true and stuff. But this subject here, has mankind has been involved with it since the beginning of his creation. So it's nothing new. It's just been covered up because they had to figure out how to control the masses. You see, when you give them religion and you give them fear, you have control over them.
Right. Totally.
You see, now we're at 8.8 billion people, and they don't know how to manage that.
A lot of people.
Yeah, not only that, but we if you look at the resources that we're consuming and the oil that we're and the oil that we're using, 87% of fossil fuel oil is used for plastics and material. The rest of it is used for automotive and industrialization, which is changed to them, to the oil industry, right? But you see where the oil is going to? The oil is going to plastic material, and then when they get done with it, they throw it in the ocean.
That's right. Yeah.
Most of it's going into my 84 Mustang, actually. Heavy. A lot of it.
Yeah.
All the time. Plastic.
Oil.
That fucker burns oil.
It does, baby.
That fucker burns oil, man.
Tony, let me ask you a question. Are there extraterrestrials amongst us? Like in branches of government, let's just say, and, you know, people of influence? You think, is that a possibility or no?
Are there? You know, see, I'm careful when I answer this, okay? Because I know that they've been mingling with humans every which way they can. Okay, so I'm going to leave that open, you know, and because in this business, nothing's impossible. All things exist. All you got to do is ask your mind if this exists. Your mind ain't
invasion by a simulation,
something like that. But when you find out that, well, see, humans, they only use less than 10% of their brain's capacity.
That's right.
So they can't really get heavily analytical on a lot of things, because reason why they only use that percentage is because their brain has been programmed to no, shut down. No was programmed into their brain that you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't have this, you can't have that, you can't believe this, you can't believe that. It's just the negative of how they exercise control on humans is phenomenal. Everyone has the right to believe in whatever they want to believe in. 100%. You know, and you could sit here and ask me any questions, and I could give you my opinion, and you know, you could believe it or not, but chances are by the time I got done with you, you're going to say, man, you know what, that makes a lot of sense.
So what's the end game? Let me ask you, it's the last question. What's the end game, Antonio? What's going to happen? Where's this all headed to? Are we doomed to be a species of slaves for the aliens, or are we going to fight again and fight them off? And what's going to happen?
Well, here's the thing. Right now, I've been having the aliens disarm the nuclear warheads from all the bases around this entire globe. They disarmed them. They can't fire them no more. Yeah. They won't tell you that they can't fire them anymore, but they can't fire them no more. The only ones that they could fire are out of the submarines. Okay? On land, no. They were told long time ago in the 60s, no, 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 no. bombing anymore, because when they dropped the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the mushroom cloud was phenomenal. Our neighbors were wondering, then an asteroid hit the planet,
right?
And they came over and checked that on it, and they realized no, it was something that humans created. They did that. They said, "Oh shit, we're in trouble now. We got a species here, human species, that poses a threat. They're a very, very dangerous species. If you rub them the wrong way, they can push the buttons and we're all fucked up," you know, and all that stuff. A war going on. You know, the aliens, if we were to go to war with the aliens, you know how the aliens would defeat us?
No.
They would seed plant life forms. Different kinds. Kinds that eat you. Kinds that will chase you. Kinds that know where you're at.
I think I married one of those ones.
Yeah. When it comes to creation, amen.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe all the different aliens I've seen throughout my involvement. I've been involved with this for 54 years. So you've had
one-on-one meetings with these beings and individuals?
No, I just seen them because they don't speak English. They're not verbal.
They're telepathic, right?
I've got aliens that look like sea serpents.
Oh, okay.
From the sea. Yeah. Can you imagine it flying around in a flying saucer? And, you know, and they live in the ocean. If they live in the ocean, I says they probably look like a sea serpent.
Of course.
And they did, and they come out of the water, and we had them. Yeah. I mean, we have all kinds of different aliens. First thing you need to understand is when you look at this universe, if it says it's infinite, you better believe that there are trillions of life forms that exist in it. Mm-hmm. We're not the only ones. You need to get that out of your mind and thinking that we're the only ones, because we're not the only ones, because we're still on our primitive stages of development. Let's put it that way.
Gotcha.
Just scratching the surface.
Early stage development. That's what we are right now. So that's interesting.
Primitive stages of development. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like I said, so the introduction to aliens is to enlighten you and try to get you to clean up this planet and the wars and stuff, because we're fed up with you hating each other because of different color. You know, yeah. And I told them, I told you guys, let me tell you something, and you better pay attention here. I told them, I said, listen to me. There's only one color that exists on this planet. That's tan. And tan has many shades to it, all the way up to dark brown.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So don't use this racist shit and color shit as a reason why you don't like each other.
Right.
You don't like each other because you were told not to like each other. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to get that out of your system.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we could all unite, and because I've got plans to make this a better place. You know, I have the solution for the immigration problem. I have Canada. I have five provinces already told me that they want to unite with the United States. And I told them, I already laid out the form, the plan. I said, okay, I'm going to take Canada, and at the same time, I'm going to take Mexico all the way down to Panama. I'm going to build Air Force military bases in Mexico, and I'm gonna make engineers out of them, out of the Latino community. In the event of a national or global disaster, I could deploy 200,000 or 300,000 to fix it within a week. You understand what I'm saying? These guys are hard workers. I know. I happen to be part a Latino. My last name is Moreno, but I don't speak Spanish. But I have to look at cultures on what makes them beautiful. And we do have a lot of beautiful cultures on this planet here. And we've been misled in believing that we don't, we have to hate this, and we have to hate that, and everything like that, And I told him, I said, let me tell you something. I'm not prejudiced because I have over 120 cultures in my genetic makeup. So I have capping rights on everybody.
love it, Tony. Listen, you've been a great guest tonight. Listen, you've really dropped a lot of knowledge. You know, a lot of things that you've said that I'm sure I agree with. I definitely agree with, you know, especially with, you know, the divide of us here. You know,
I was gonna say whether people agree or disagree, I gotta be honest, that the message that you're delivering, which is at the end of the day, all about unity and cleaning this shit up. Right. That's when we can all get behind. And absolutely thank you for coming on, sharing everything you've shared.
Yeah, and we're gonna have to have you come back on again, because I know there's a lot of information that we could talk about, and some of maybe
all the way back.
Yeah, and talk about some of the evidence that you have too as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh, and I want to let you guys know, I used to be friends with Tom Petty.
Oh really?
Yeah, he and I were friends for 13 years. I was a private driver for his family all the way up to his death. I'm in the process of writing a book about his life. Tom Petty, awesome. You don't know how it feels. Mm. I got permissions of his two daughters and stuff like that. But awesome. Tom was into UFOs.
Was he? Okay, I was going to ask you that.
When he met me in 2005, and I told him I was involved with UFOs and paranormal activities, mm-hmm. we instantly became friends. Because you see, he liked that stuff, and him and George Harrison from the Beatles they were best friends. They were best friends, and that's what they were into.
Oh, that's cool.
And so when I came along and I said, "All right, Tom, don't get me going here." Yeah. I said, "Hold on. I'll tell you what happened in Roswell." he said, "Well, how do you know that?" I said, "Well, I seen the 16 millimeter tapes." So I know exactly what happened in Roswell.
Oh, that's where I know how many
bodies. It's not the Hollywood version.
Right.
It's not the witnesses version.
Right.
It's from the video that I was privileged to see. On what exactly happened when the 501 went out to the Cooper Ranch and vacuumed it up in a 3-mile perimeter.
Mm.
I know what was taken. I know where it went to. I know everything. See, one thing about me is, like I said, when you were one of those inquisitive kids, man. Right. And by the time I was 15, man, I wanted to rule the fucking universe.
We all did. I think Jay and I both did. Yeah, right? Why not?
Pretty sure I'm dealing with a 13-year-old that wants to try to rule the universe right now.
No, listen, Tony.
You're too old to realize it's bullshit. You can't. Too much work.
Yeah. No, it's great, Tony. Listen, we're going to have you come back on for part two, because there's so much more we need to talk about. But, thank you for coming on, Dark Fringe Radio. We're going to have you come back on when you do your book about Tom Petty, too, as well. That's something that's very interesting. Jay and I are very into music. So,
huge into music.
Yeah. We are huge into music. And I know Jay's a Tom Petty fan. I am as well. So, we're going to have you come back on for that. And of course, come back on and talk more UFOs and maybe even some more paranormal stuff. That's stuff that we're involved in as well here. But a lot of more stuff to get into. We really thank you so much, Tony, for coming on tonight.
Oh, hey, great. Thank you for having me. And it was fun. And like I said, there's so much to talk about.
Yes, I know.
I mean we haven't even
scratched the surface. Ice,
man. Scratch surface. Right.
You know, yeah. We haven't even scratched the surface yet.
Episode 2.
Yes.
But you see, I was, if it wasn't for me being a special gifted child, they discovered that I was clairvoyant, I was telepathic, and I was an empath. I had no idea what that meant. All I knew is that I could put my thoughts together, mm-hmm. and I would end up getting the answers later on down the line.
There you go.
You know, they would come to me because I believed in them. Yep. You know, you put energy, positive energy into your brain, and you get positive results back. Anyway, hold that thought. We'll talk to you guys later. And thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Tony.
Thank you so much, Antonio.
Yeah, it was nice meeting you too. Bye-bye now.
Take care.
Dark Fringe Radio, your premier source for the paranormal, conspiracy theory, and true crime.